This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek. This is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Andrew the Apprentice. Joining me this evening is nobody, actually. I am here all by myself, but we are going to have a guest with us very shortly. Jules Wilkinson is a slash fiction author, and so we'll be finding out what that is all about very, very shortly. And, you know, science fiction, we're going to be talking about the written word. But first up, we just wanted to check in with another event that's happening and launching tomorrow evening. That is the Company of Men exhibition. And the creator and curator of the Company of Men is Damien. Good evening, Damien.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, first up, we should say that there's been a bit of a change of plans.
There has been a change of plans. We've had to change venue at the last minute for reasons that I probably shouldn't go into on radio.
That's right.
But we're actually at the space that we've used for the last 2 years. It's called Bright Space. It's in St Kilda, 8 Martin Street. So, yeah, and everything's going to be up and ready in time, and it's all going to be fantastic.
And it's just sort of... opposite Greyhound, in behind there, near the old town hall.
Yeah, it's basically diagonally opposite the Greyhound. Yeah.
So what can people who get along there tomorrow for the opening, and then right through from then through to the 6th of February, what can they expect when they get along to Company of Men?
It's a group exhibition. It's a multimedia exhibition. I have 20 artists from... there's a mix of local, interstate and international artists. This year we have queer art superstar Bruce LaBruce. He's been kind enough to actually let us put some of his movies on show, and also a beautiful image that he's produced. But there's also, I should really say that our sponsors that back, Victorian AIDS Council, have been absolutely fantastic. They've actually funded the project this year.
That's great.
Melbourne. And they've also commissioned two artists that Jesse and Carlos were actually talking on their radio show yesterday too, Rogan and Kia. So, yeah, they're fantastic. A couple of the other artists, we have Nick Demopoulos, who runs the Trough Party.
Of course, yes.
He's got some pretty amazing photographs up. And then there's another artist, Simonology. He's from Sydney. And he, for the last 2 years, he's done 3D photography. So he had to put on the retro paper glasses. And this year's doing something slightly different. But, yeah, we've also got another artist from New York who's a film and photographic artist. And, yeah, so we have it's a whole multitude of painting, photography, film, digital art. There's also lino cuts and other mixed media.
And also, I believe, as you mentioned, VAC is a sponsor. So this year I saw that there was a Art in Health promotion forum happening on the 28th.
That's next Thursday at, I think it's 7 o'clock.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll be on a panel with Rogan and Kia as well. And I think Colin from VAC is actually speaking on that panel. And it's just discussing how art can help health promotion along, and what kind of creative messages that we can actually help get the messages for health promotion out there, you know, that we need to, you know, like a little bit different way. And that's what the images that Kira and Rogan have actually produced they're actually beautiful images.
And one of the big things about Company of Men is often you have the live exhibitions and demos happening, and I believe there's one happening on Saturday as well.
Yep, it's a BDSM demo that Sado BJ from Eagle Leather is actually, he's suspending John. So come along and have a look at John being suspended in his in DJ's special way.
Yeah.
And John is actually doing a bit of a pole dancing routine too.
Fantastic.
So there's a bit of everything.
So 3 o'clock, I believe that's 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Yep.
Fantastic.
That is.
Damien, thank you so much for joining us. I know it must be a bit of a rush to get everything ready for tomorrow night.
We're getting there.
People have to
forgive us if everything's not as, because it has been in the past, but I'm pretty sure people will be fine.
But you're familiar with the space, so that must help.
Yeah, well, the one thing I do have to say is thank you to Brightspace for, this all happened at 12 o'clock today. I called Kylie, who manages Brightspace, and she said, yep, that's fine.
So the Company of Men...
straight in. Yep.
Yep. Fantastic. So the Company of Men 2016 is now at Brightspace, 8 Martin Street, St Kilda, where it has been the last couple of years, diagonally opposite and in behind where the Greyhound is. So... get along there. Opening night is from 6:30 tomorrow, and then the exhibition runs right through midsummer to the 6th of February. Damien, thank you.
Can I just mention one last thing?
Of course.
That if there is any changes, I'll be putting it on the Facebook page, and it's just facebook.com Company of Men Exhibition. So if there are any changes of times or anything, tomorrow night is happening at the same time, but there might be slight changes during the week. But it should all be on the Company of Men Facebook page.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Damien. Don't burn the midnight oil too much.
I'll try not to.
Thanks. That was Damien from the Company of Men. It has had a change of venue at the last minute, as Damien said. It is now at Brightspace in St Kilda. So if you were planning to get along to the previous venue in Collingwood, make sure you change your plans. And get along there to St Kilda. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is, of course, Andrew the Apprentice. Tonight, we are going to be talking about slash fiction. If you don't know what that is, well, it is a particular genre of fan fiction, and Jules Wilkinson will be joining us this evening to talk about that. This is Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Andrew the Apprentice, and no co-host tonight, but that's all right. We've got time for a long chat with our guest this evening, Jules Wilkinson. By her own website, she says she was raised by television in the wilds of Melbourne and has become a bit of a writer over time. Good evening, Jules.
Hello, Andrew. Happy midsummer.
Happy midsummer. It is a busy town out there with everything going on.
It's pumping out in Melbourne tonight.
It is. So you're a writer, and one of the things you've learned to love and to become very much attached to is slash fiction.
That's right.
So slash fiction. How do you describe slash fiction?
Well, I suppose I have to go back one step, and that's to ask, do you know what fan fiction is?
I do. It is where writers use their creativity and take characters from pop culture or other sources of literature and reimagines them in another setting.
Yep. All the same setting.
All the same setting. But a different story.
But a different, well, can be the same extension of the same story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I often describe it. It's like anyone who's ever read a book or watched a movie and thought, "Wonder what happens next."
Right.
That's the seeds of fanfic, and it's the people who take that and make a story out of it. That's where fanfic comes from. It also encompasses, and I should mention this because I'll talk about it with slash as well, what we call RPF or real person fiction, which is the same sort of thing but written about real people. Musicians, sports people, politicians, historical figures.
Sure.
So that uses real people and, again, imagines them in scenarios and stories for our enjoyment.
So slash fiction, what, takes it a step further, I'm guessing?
It takes it down a different path.
A different path.
It has a branching path. So slash basically takes two same-gendered characters in a story, in a movie or a book or whatever, and says, I think they should make hot passionate love. or they should have a relationship. Or they should just fuck.
So I'm thinking Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin. I mean, let's face it, Batman had a series of attractive young men sharing that Batcave.
Or Batman and the Joker.
Oh, yes. Antagonists are particularly particularly loved because we love a bit of hate sex.
And I was having a look, you know, Harry Potter obviously is doing a lot of things in these books. And originally...
Wands. I mean, come on.
Lots of wands.
They've all got their hand on their wand, Potter.
Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, I can imagine.
I was more a Han Chewie shipper myself. But, yeah, the history of Slash, I mean, it probably goes back... many, many, many years, but is sort of the modern history is dated back to Star Trek in the 60s.
Okay.
And from the original series with the wonderful Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner and Kirk and Spock getting together.
Yes.
And that's where the term slash, because people often think, where does the slash come from? It was just writing their names with a backslash between them, and it became shortened to Slash. So that started, you know, back in the 60s, people were back then, you know, writing, and you're far too young to remember things like Roneo machines and, you know, making fan magazines like that. And that's where those stories started being written into the 70s. And it happened in, you know, every other fandom. Obviously, the internet meant... lots more people had access to it more immediately, and you know, there's so many more platforms for people to write on. And you know, we're talking millions of words, millions of stories across the internet.
And what, yeah, I wanted to get to that a little bit later, but that sort of the idea of I saw written bromance to romance.
Well, it's interesting. Bromance is a term that the mainstream media have picked up on the last few years. And I think it's interesting because it's a bit, I don't want to say having a bet each way. It's a bit like we can't quite deal with the fact that two heterosexual men could just be friends.
Yep.
But we can't go and say they're actually queer in some way. So we're going to call it a bromance.
Okay, fair enough. Yes.
It's a bit fence-sitting, I think. But it is going to that thing. Look, we often talk about wearing slash goggles, and you know, you will look at a show and you'll think, how could those two guys be straight? I mean, I, you know, was a teenager in the 70s watching a lot of those sort of, you know, cop buddy movies,
yes,
and
of course,
you know,
yes.
And police show, yeah, you know, Starsky and Hutch. But you know, you look at anything like the Die Hard movies or Lethal Weapon, or you know, you've always got these two hunky guys. Maybe not so much in Lethal Weapon, but you know, you've got two hunky guys who care for each other, who will die for each other. There's usually some moment where one of them's hurt and the other one has to tenderly care for him.
Yes, yes.
And he'll kill anyone, you know, they'll kill anyone who gets in the way. And, you know, people watched this and thought, in any other, you know, if we weren't living in this heteronormative society, that's what a relationship looks like.
And that leads, I guess, to, in a heteronormative society, you might expect gay men to be writing these stories about men hooking up with each other.
Yeah, and they do.
And they do. But my understanding is that it's female authors who are the predominant authors.
Yeah, fanfic has always been, and I don't know the reason, but fanfic has always been women's work. It's always been a female-dominated area. There certainly are men, both of a variety of genders and sexualities writing it, but, you know, the vast majority are women, queer women, straight women, you name it.
So have you got a theory as to why that is?
Oh, look, there's a lot of theories, and I think they all probably have some validity. One thing is a lot of women find two guys fucking hot. Simple as that.
And I suppose we started the show by talking with Damien from Company of Men, and the stereotype is that men across the board respond to visual stimuli.
And that's such a crock.
Yeah, exactly. And the other stereotype is that women respond to written.
Yeah.
Is that why you potentially there are more female authors?
I turn it on the other way. I'm a bit of a Marxist at heart. It's more that women didn't have access to making visual media about ourselves and what we desired. But what we did have access to was things that were free and things that we could do. You know, it's like a lot of things women have done for their own enjoyment, which is often very has often been very restricted by society. The old, you know, women could sit and do embroidery in the corner.
Yeah, sure.
Because that was seen as sort of productive, but it was sort of creative. And being able to write at home, or, you know, on a journal, or these days on your iPad or whatever, you can do that anywhere or any time. It's free, almost. It's accessible to anyone. And so it was a space that women could claim, and we didn't have to worry about, you know, gatekeepers, you know, men saying, no, this is what, or saying things like, you know, women don't respond to visual media.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because if you've ever been on Tumblr and had a look at the trillions of megabytes of photos, and I can tell you I'm very heavily involved in the supernatural fandom. I mean, you can gather terabytes of pictures just of people, men, you know, men's hands and lips and, you know, so the whole women don't respond to visual, I think it's, again, it's looking at how the world is and looking for an explanation rather than saying, well, maybe women had to do things another way because we couldn't do,
yeah,
you know, we couldn't make movies or make TV shows. It's still really hard to have, you know, a female point of view. We still get really excited when there's a female main character, let alone a female point of view main character. So I think fanfic particularly... And it has always been sort of underground. It's sort of something you could do anonymously. No one had to know about it. If anyone asked you, just writing in your diary or, you know, doing something like that. And, I, you know, there are so many people I know and they're, you know, women with, you know, jobs and families and all these things, and it's space they can claim for themselves in those moments on the bus or wherever. And I think that's... So it's more that we found a space we could have rather than that's the only thing that turns us on. These days, of course, we have a lot more access to visual media, so yeah. I think it shifts.
Is that also related to why some authors use gender-neutral terms, so initials in their name? Or
I think so. You're getting there into, I suppose, more traditionally published work. In fandom, people often have... And less so now with all the diversity in social networks. People use, you know, when I started online, you had, you know, I think one of my early names was Wombat Girl. don't Google it. And so there was a degree of anonymity, although, of course, you did get to know people. And that's remained, although these days, because you tend to then, you'll know people on Facebook or various places, that's broken down somewhat. In publishing, I think there's a variety. You know, some people will use gender, you know, neutral pen names.
Yep.
And that's regardless of what genre they're writing, whether you're writing what's known as M/M writing, or if you're just writing, you know, whatever you're writing, because unfortunately still there's a lot of bias against, can be a lot of bias against female authors, and it's really hard getting published.
I can imagine. Do you or the authors that you talk to who use their real name, shall we say, do you think people get concerned that potentially gay men won't pick up a book that's written by a female?
So I think with the published works, generally the audience is women as well. So and it's sort of so what's known as MM, and it's usually romance, grew out of people writing original slash fic. So rather than it being based on characters from a story or whatever, they created their own characters.
Sure.
And then that sort of burgeoned over the last 15 years into this publishing industry. Now, gay men do read these books.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I'm not familiar enough with the industry to know how many people use pseudonyms and whether there's a feeling of what people will read or not. But there's very famous women who've written gay male stories. You know, well, Annie Proulx wrote Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Mary Renault is hugely known for writing historical, you know, sort of Roman and Greek fiction with gay men in it. So I'm sure that might be a factor, but certainly in that sector of publishing, the perceived and probably actual audience is predominantly women as well. So I don't think it's so much we want to appear neutral so that the gay men will read it. I think it's more just about publishing in general.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here talking with Jules Wilkinson about slash fiction. Now, Jules, one of the reasons we've got...
Sorry, I've just got to get down off the table here from dancing. It was a great track. I had my hands in the air. Very midsummer, everyone.
It is, it is. Now, one of the reasons we got you in is you are going to be joining a panel on Wednesday.
Oh, it's going to be a lot sexier than that. I hate the word panel.
Panel.
Sounds so very ACCA serious,
it does.
Doesn't it?
Sounds boring. But no, this won't be boring. On Wednesday, the 3rd of February at Hares and Hyenas, it is a panel with, well, not a panel, but with C.S.
An event,
An event,
darling.
With international best-selling author C.S. Parkett and also Clementine Ford and yourself. Talking about man-on-man romance and erotica, written as it is written by women. So that's one of the things we'll... So I'll give you some more details about that later on. Now, Jules, you mentioned just before that fantastic track, that women are often the readers of this slash fiction.
Yeah, primarily.
Which brings two fictional characters, or real-life characters even, together in circumstances that potentially...
You'd love to know who I'm going to write you with, Andrew.
So why do you think it appeals to women? Man-on-man action.
Look, I think there's a lot of reasons. I mean, what appeals to you? I think, some women find... the idea, the visuals, the thought of two hot guys or two guys they find hot, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder,
yes,
fucking a turn on. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. I know people get confused because there's a lot of queer women. I myself am an old-fashioned lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd be happy if I never saw another penis in real life ever again. Nothing against them, but, you know, not something that turns me on. But I'm happy to read slash fic and two guys fucking. I'll get turned on by that. I'll get to, you know, sometimes I'll get turned on by coffee in the morning. I think there's lots of things that turn people on. Again, I think some of it comes from people being connected to some characters, and so the thought of them having sex is even sexier. I think,
sure,
and I should say, like, sometimes it is just about sex. Sometimes these stories are romances and it's about the falling in love and everything. But often we have a genre or a subgenre called PWP, porn without plot. So that's where you just want to get down to the nasty. And the wonderful thing about fanfic is that it's not constricted by the rules of publishing. So I can write a story that's 300 words long or 3,000 words long or 30,000 words long. In some cases, 300,000 words long.
Yeah.
But that gives you a freedom to go, oh, God, I just thought, wouldn't this be hot? Bang out a sex scene and people will love it. Or
so is it a case of a good author does their research?
Yes.
So is it a case that you have to watch gay porn to understand the mechanics of how it's all going to work?
You're not that special, Andrew. Look, I always say, look, these days we have a smorgasbord available to us at the click of a button on the internet,
yep,
where you can see all that. But again, go back to the 60s when women were writing about Kirk and Spock fucking on the Enterprise. Now, most of those women, a lot of them would never have even met a gay man. A hell of a
True,
lot of gay
yeah.
men weren't out. They would never have seen gay sex. So... But they know about desire. They know about what turns them on. You think about it. Words like fuck, suck, thrust, wet, hard. You put those together and whatever bodies they're attached to, if you're a good writer, that's hot. You don't need to know, I don't know, what the, you know, inside of a, you know, foreskin smells like. And I think that's where it comes. A good writer can convey emotion. It's not a how-to manual. I mean, some people are really good at writing the mechanics or the specifics.
Yep.
But it's a bit like with porn, visual porn. If you look at that, you know, some of the better stuff, a lot of the skills in the editing, not in, you know,
exactly.
How far can I get the lens up his asshole? So certainly, you know, also the fact that the audience is women. Of course, there are many writers, you know, there's a lot of very young women writing this, you know, who would have even less experience. But their readers aren't going to care too much either. As I said, these days we've got a lot more knowledge and it's a lot more easily accessible. So all those sort of mechanics and, you know, when you use lube and, you know, if you're not experienced yourself with ass fucking, there are lots of resources to find that out.
And is it the case that you sort of indicated that often there is the porn version, but there is also the other versions, that the it's the romance and the desire and the camaraderie, I guess, in many ways. That is the driving story.
Slash comes in all genres. I mean, sometimes it happens to be, I happen to, in all sorts of reading, I like thrillers and crime fiction. And so I'll read Slash where, you know, it's the classic two, you know, the cop chasing the serial killer, or the two FBI agents, you know, X-Files style, or the, you know, the hard-bitten coroner and the lawyer or whatever. And so their relationship might be part of the story, but I'm mainly reading the story for the mystery, or the thriller part of it. I'm not personally not a romance reader myself, but yeah, and people do write, you know, straight up romances. The hot surgeon who falls in love with his barista.
and has there been a shift either recently or over time that it's not just male on male, but the trans, because of gender diversity, the trans community and is becoming part of this fiction as well?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. Slash has always been, even within what it does, you know, quite transgressive in a way, and also open. Just to go back to what we were talking about, why women write it. One theory, which, you know, I think it's one perspective, I don't think it's the whole thing, is that women write it because, again, there's so much constraints in society on our own, on our sexuality, how we look, how we act. You know, you're either frigid or you're a whore. And so by writing two men together, women can distance themselves from their own experience and project onto what is in sort of a way a blank slate. So it's a bit like when sometimes people love reading historical stories because it takes you out of the present day, takes you to a foreign place, like reading sci-fi. You know, you can go to somewhere that's different. And I think writing about men in a relationship for women can be us writing ourselves into a space that's not weighed down with, you know, being a woman in today's society. And I don't think that's the only reason, but I do think that holds for some people. Now, sometimes women will project themselves quite strongly onto the characters. So, you know, people will, sometimes the relationships will appear like a heterosexual relationship, or one character may appear more feminized. Now, that's carried through to a lot of play with gender always in fanfic. And one of the things I love is that fanfic writers just, and slashfic writers went, you know what? We could design bodies better. What if the asshole was self-lubricating? How good would that be?
Yep.
So these sort of things, and not in any science fiction way, often will just become a trope. There's one that's become really popular in the last 5 years, which is where the guys in the stories have dicks that are similar to dog dicks in that they have a big knot at the base that swells up when they fuck. You know, hey, women just went, we can design a better dick. and that comes along with a whole lot of other traits that came in about having sort of uncontrollable periods, like heat, going into heat or rutting. So that idea of uncontrollable sexuality, which is often a turn on for people. So just getting back to your thing about gender, and another big genre has always been what we call M-preg, which is male pregnancy.
Oh, okay.
So that, in which that comes the male characters become pregnant, and have sometimes the whole where the baby comes out is a bit glossed over.
Sure.
So we don't talk about ass babies.
That's all right, but
or sometimes, because a lot of people find lactation a turn on, they lactate. So there's all that going on. And then, yes, in the last few years, there's been a lot more people writing actual trans characters, whether they're F to M or M to F. but also a range of things. I mean, there's a whole body of work around asexual characters. Holmes Watson gets a lot of asexual Sherlock written.
Okay.
And again, because you're not constrained by the gatekeeping of publishing, you can write this. I don't go into shops and see, you know, bookshops and see shelves and shelves of books with asexual lead male characters in gay male relationships. So I think there's that playfulness and that freedom, and there's no one to tell you don't do it.
You're on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Jules Wilkinson is my guest, and couple of messages, and I just wanted to touch on a couple of those things that Jules has just highlighted. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it on
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Something for everybody.
Hide and Seek, Joy 94.9. Jules Wilkinson is our guest, talking about slash fiction. Now, Jules, you mentioned there, you know, often women authors potentially, the way you're talking and the way I read it, sort of, you know, women authors potentially got sick of Fabio in the Mills and Boone editions coming and saving the heroine. And so it's part of the feminism movement potentially was to get over that sort of genre of writing.
Possibly. Look, I'm not an expert in the romance field, and I know that in general, particularly in say in heterosexual romance, there's been a great, you know, shift from that in the last 10-15 years. However, it is fantasy, and some women want to be rescued.
Yeah,
like I think that again, that's whether you talk any genre, whether it's romance or science fiction or whatever, we often have fantasies that we want. I mean, slash fiction does that in terms of, because of the anonymity often around it, a lot of freedom to let your taboo desires out as well. There's a strong ethic called no kink shaming. So there's lots of places where you can go and write stories about things that, you know, to be honest, would probably have you arrested in a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Or at least looked down on or shamed. And you can write those stories and you'll find other people and you'll go, oh, my God, there are other people turned on by the fact that, you know, one of my favourite ones is anything involving tentacles.
Tentacles.
Yes, tentacles. Tentacle, you know, non-consensual tentacle sex, big for me.
Righto.
That's actually a really big thing in anime, so it's not that obscure.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, there are a lot of things, you know, whether it is rape or bestiality or a whole lot of things that we do. We get turned on by things that, you know, still there's a lot of taboo over our fantasies and our desires.
And you've indicated a couple of times that the internet therefore has allowed, and the lack of censorship on the internet, I guess, has allowed this genre to blossom.
Yeah, and it gives those spaces, and they're curated by the people who are, you know, invested in it. It takes a lot of work, and you know, there are big public archives of and platforms. So Tumblr has some, but there's Wattpad, fanfiction.net, and a big one called Archive of Our Own, where, you know, millions of stories are posted all the time.
So you would write a story and then send it into the
archive? You just post it.
Yep, just post
it. You create an account and post it, like Facebook or something.
Oh, wow, okay. And so how has that changed the industry, shall we say, do you think?
Look, I think fanfic has changed. I mean, a couple of the big things, like 50 Shades of Grey was originally fanfic, and its publication caused both joy and dismay for many reasons.
Yes.
But I think it's become, you know, it has started to move away from something that was in itself shameful, the idea that it was, you know, it was always poorly written and terrible and it shouldn't exist. The wonderful thing about fanfic is anyone can write it. Nearly everyone will find a reader for what you write. And
there is something on the internet for everyone.
There is. And I think anything that encourages someone to write, and, you know, you don't have to do a university course or anything like that. You just sit down and write a story. If you've got that story in you, what could be better than telling it? And if it's hot, even better.
So as we sort of wrap up, who are your favourite fictional characters to play around with?
Well, as I said, I am in the supernatural fandom. We have an interesting, what should I say, dilemma. The two main characters are brothers.
Yes.
So their ship, if you like, is called Wincest. then Dean, one of the brothers, also is incredibly fond of his angel, Castiel. So there you've got a whole sort of interspecies thing going on.
Yeah.
I've been writing that for a long time. I foray into other fandoms as they come around, various movies and comics and things like that. I'll read anything that's well written. I do like a bit of Sherlock and Watson.
Yes.
I, of course, having seen The Force Awakens, there has been a deluge of Poe Dameron Finn fic,
and that,
which...
And that has entered the mainstream.
It has, and I think that's the wonderful... I was just reading an article before I came here about saying, well, you know, basically now everyone expects Poe Dameron to be a queer character.
Yeah.
Can the studio and the, you know, industry, can they ignore that? And I think that's wonderful that it's not just being dismissed as... you know, hysterical girls on the internet over hot blokes. It's people going, there's actually a part of this that is about queer representation. It is about saying, you know, and that's another part of Slash. It is looking for the queer anywhere we can find it, because that, of course, is still, you know, we are woefully underrepresented everywhere. So if we have to make it ourselves, so be it for now.
Jules Wilkinson, you are going to be joined on a small stage, but... on a stage down at Hares and Hyenas on Wednesday the 3rd of February.
Yes, it's from I figure which way around it is. It's from to MM, I think. So we want to discuss both what we've been discussing tonight, but also some of the tensions with queer male writing. So are we taking up space? Are we culturally appropriating the gay male experience? Yeah. Does it really shit people that women can write gay male sex better than gay men can? So we'll have a bit of, you know, there will be some discussion there. C.S. Packett is going to read from one of her Captive Prince trilogy,
right,
which is a worldwide bestseller.
Yes.
I know Clem is a big Hannibal fan, so okay. I'm sure we'll talk a bit of anagram and the intersection between the people making the shows that we slash about.
That's Clementine Ford.
Yes. And I'll be doing a little introduction to slash fic called In Conclusion Cock.
So that is Wednesday the 3rd of February from 7:30 p.m. down at Hares and Hyenas on Johnston Street. Call in there or give them a phone call and
check the Midsummer website. It's under the Word Is Out program.
Word Is Out.
Hares and Hyenas.
It is.
Come along, buy me a drink.
Thank you so much, Jules, for joining me this evening.
Thank you, Andrew.
It's just dipping our toe in the water, I guess, of slash fiction.
Oh, it always starts with a toe.
That was Jules Wilkinson at Hares and Hyenas on the 3rd of February. Big thank you to her. Also, don't forget, Company of Men exhibition has relocated. It is launching tomorrow down at Bright Space in St Kilda.
It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be fantastic. So get along there from 6:30 tomorrow night. That's all for Hide and Seek this evening. Strip Down is coming up next. A big thank you to our podcaster, David. All of our podcasts are, of course, at joy.org.au/hideandseek. And happy midsummer. Have a good rest of the weekend and long weekend coming up. And we'll see you here on Hide and Seek next week. Bye for now.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.